Okay, so I'm going to call this week, it's a slash throwback week, all right? So I'm putting out a couple of projects this week that that's been in the, it's been in the container, it's been in the cabinet, it's been in the deep recesses of the catalog. Well, not too deep, but deep enough that it hasn't been put out in a little bit. So I'm going to release it this week, starting off with the, and I've been quoting this many times, but the NBA playoffs and finals kind of took precedence a little bit. But you know what? It's okay to rehash certain things. This is an episode that I enjoyed doing. It took a while to edit, but it's going to be the season two review of Daredevil. All right. So for those who've watched that on Disney Plus, the Marvel Cinematic Universe TV show that's on Disney Plus, it was a very good season. I did the review last year for it, and I split this up in two parts. So part one is going to be out now as you're listening, and you can actually watch this later this afternoon on my Sal Sharav YouTube channel. And also, the part two of this will be out next week. I haven't figured out the date yet, but it will be. They're both ready, but they'll be out. That one will be out probably next Monday probably next Tuesday, more than likely. All right, so we'll figure it out, but it will be out. I'm joined by my Sal Sharav family member, Kevin W. I appreciate him for hopping on and doing this review as he did with me last year and some of the TV shows that I've done in the past. It was a funny conversation, so I don't even want to spend too much time talking about it. I just want you to get to it, listen to it, have some fun with this, and I appreciate you, as always, for lending me your ears. With that said, Sal Sharav is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Alexa, wherever you go and listen to podcasts, please continue to do so. Hit those like and subscribe buttons. Click on those 5 stars for me, please, and thank you. Make sure you go over to that catalog over at SalSharav.com. Once again, that is SalSharav.com. And I'm going to say it one more time for the emphasis, because it is a deep catalog at this point. Once again, that is SalSharav.com. So I appreciate you guys, as always, for listening and tuning in. The aforementioned, I know I've mentioned this many times too, while I call this a throwback, I'm doing a episode of the Stoop preseason. So what happened was I did some testers for the Stoop. The first two of these preseason ones are going to be on wherever you listen to it, Apple, Spotify, and everything else, and then it will be on YouTube. But after the new ones come out a little bit later this summer, next month, I should say in July, because we're almost the end of June, they will exclusively be on the Sal Sharav YouTube channel. So I'm calling it the preseason because, like I said, those ones were actually out from November. I actually recorded them the day after the Blue Jays lost the World Series in Game 7. So I've been sitting on this for a while, debating if I should put them out or not. But I'm just going with the vibe. I'm still going to put those out for the time being as testers. I'm calling it the preseason. We got some new ones that are scheduled to be recorded. The new ones will start to be released throughout the summer and the fall. So I'm really excited about this project because I've been sitting on this for a long time. And I'm just ready to get the ideas out and get it started. So thank you I'm already thanking you in advance for supporting and tuning in and watching and share it out, man. Thank you. But that one will be out on Thursday. All right. And then, like I said, I got some new episodes that's a little more NBA centric that's coming out this week. And yeah, so like I said, let's get to it, man. Let's go. It's the Av Podcast with Cal C on Sal Sharav Radio. Let's go.
Welcome to the Av Podcast with Cal C on Sal Sharav Radio.
Welcome to the Av Podcast, where I am joined by the Sal Sharav family member. He usually does some of these TV show runs with me. So, you know, I'm glad to have him back on for this episode. Plus, on top of that, his Knicks are winning, which is like it's like a great time in his life right now. That's why he's talking about did it like he won the championship, but he ain't win no championship yet. But we'll get to that later. I'll get his feedback on that in a moment. Please welcome on this Daredevil episode, this Daredevil season 2 wrap up episode of Born Again. Please welcome Kevin. How you doing today, sir? Or Kevin W, I should say. How you doing today?
Thanks for having me. And I appreciate the time. Have a good night, everybody. Appreciate it. I got to go get ready for my Knicks game here. And I think we're good. Thanks, Calvin. Great content as always.
No problem. Keep up the dream. Appreciate it.
Doing all right. It's a good time right now, sports-wise. The teams I'm rooting for are doing all right. My multimillionaires are doing quite well. My parlays are not, but that's a story for another time.
Oh yeah,
can't win.
And then the Canadians. That's the other one too. For the life of me, I wanted to wear my Canadians toque. For the life of me, I don't know where that is right now. But I'm sure I'll trip over it after this episode's over. That's how I'll find it.
Well, just for you, Calvin, it's pronounced sick.
What?
Sick. Anyways. Calvin. Anyways. Can't wait to see you at the parade, buddy.
Yeah. All right. Don't be the jackass and correct me with French lingo. Don't need it.
I'll let them do that in Montreal during the parade.
There you go.
Olé, 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 olé. Yeah.
Yes. 2-0, man. That's a good place to be. Well, as we're recording, it's 1-0, but we'll see what happens tonight. But
that's the spirit.
We're foreshadowing. But season 2 of Daredevil's Born Again was very good. It was very good, first of all. Yeah, man. So we're here to talk back about season 2 of Daredevil. And before I get your thoughts on this, I mean, it was a very good season. I don't know if you want to play the comparison game between season 1 and season 2, but I think season 1 is as probably like a notch below, maybe like half a notch below last year's. Excuse me to phrase that. Probably a notch below season 1, but I still thought it was really good. I thought it was really, really well done. I don't think they're really missing the mark on bringing this episode back. And they're doing it in a way where, overall, generally, and I feel like in a way they're, I'm kind of glad they're, you know, Disney didn't, we were afraid, you know, for the last couple of years. I mean, last year kind of proved it. We're kind of afraid that they're going to PG it up. And that hasn't happened with this show at all. So it lends to the authenticity of what we want to see. But what were your thoughts on this season?
A lot of gratuitous murders. That was good. For those that have a bloodlust and didn't want the same PG version of Disney that we were being given for a while. Was it a good story? I don't know, but I'll say for what we got the first season, when it seemed to be like a hodgepodge Frankenstein mix of different storylines and everything, that caused a bit of confusion. But the purists were like, okay, well, it's still Daredevil and see where we're trying to go with this. It did introduce a lot of characters that got a lot more play and got a little bit more integrated with everything in season 2. Overall, I'd say season 2 was better than season 1. It was building up towards, you know, I'll put on my Game of Thrones meter where I want you, you know, I want to go from season 1 to season 7 and you get ready for the grand finale. And then for some reason you might get a season 8. I'm not going to say it's that bad, but we have some things to talk about the series for the series finale. But it was a good story. I did like the introduction of some new characters, the growth of some more characters.
Yeah.
I did not appreciate the, you know, shock value. Let's just do it to do it. You know, murder of Foggy Nelson. You know, like that seemed to be like an unresolved, you know, that was this whole underlying point of the scene. Like it was to avenge Foggy and get to the bottom of something. We kind of got lost along the way. But again, we can go into that a bit later.
Yeah, no. It, to me, it was a solid. Like last season was a solid. I think last season was a solid 8.5 or a 9. I would say for sure. I think to me, this season was a solid. It was a strong 8. I think it was a strong 8 to me. You know what I mean? But
including the finale.
If you include the finale, yeah, I think it was a strong 8. I think that's what probably, you know, we'll get into that later. But I feel like that's what probably brings it down a half a notch. Like I said, Daredevil's tough, man. Like that episode, I mean, we're talking about this, right? I wouldn't talk about this if the show sucked. You know what I mean? So it's they're doing their thing. They're really doing work with this season. And It's interesting because I feel like, you know, Daredevil's at this stage where it's, what's the word I'm looking for? He's leaning on his faith a little more, and his faith in the justice system, his faith in people, even though everything's crumbling around him, which I kind of really like, you know what I mean? Showing that aspect of it. It kind of relates to the, I mean, I'm not a comic book guy, but I mean, I know it relates to like some of the things I've seen from online and even like the cartoons and stuff. Like it kind of falls kind of in sync with that, which is solid. Like, which, you know, that's kind of what you want. You want something closer to the story as it can. You know, it's not going to be because it's TV and movies, but you want it to be as close to the foundational storyline as it could be.
So, here's my gripe. Gripe number one. I appreciate what Marvel's trying to do and what Kevin Feige's trying to do. And, you know, we'll just borrow from, you know, some of the classic storylines and we'll just take that title. It was pretty far from the original source material, the Born Again storyline. Born Again storyline was more about Daredevil being born again after having everything stripped away from him. That's what happened in the comic. It's like a five or six part series written by the great Frank Miller. Frank Miller has some of the greatest, you know, he has a mind for it. And when they unleashed him and they're just like, go ahead and create, save Daredevil, he did a huge, like, I believe, integrating Bullseye, Kingpin, Elektra, the Hand, all of that was under his eye, like Hell's Kitchen, making it all gritty, grimy, and like its own pocket of New York, like it was its own city. That was him. But the Born Again storyline was, you want a quick recap?
Sure.
All right. Karen Page, do you find she got enough play, or she was an integral part in the story or not?
In this season, yeah, I think so.
Okay. So in the story, like in the original material, Karen Page ends up being hooked on drugs. Actually, sorry. She moved to become a star in Hollywood. She failed. She had short-lived success, but then she spiraled into drugs. Then she ended up selling secrets for cash for a hit. And the secrets that she sold to some guy down south was the true identity of Daredevil. That identity then ends up making its way towards a certain man in New York named Wilson Fisk. And Wilson Fisk keeps that information for himself. And he basically orchestrates the complete dismantling and unraveling of Matt Murdock's life. Personally, professionally, he just wanted to break him from within. So it wasn't anything to do with the Mayor Fisk and that angle. They tried to blend a whole bunch of different storylines, but he broke Matt, like where Matt started losing it, you know? Mm. He lost it with Foggy. Foggy was still alive. He lost it with Foggy. He lost it with, like, you know, with everybody. He lost his career. He wasn't able to practice law. They foreclosed on the law firm. Kingpin blew up his apartment. People were being murdered, like people that were trying to help anyone that helped Matt Murdock. Either silenced or missing. There's even a point where Kingpin has Matt beat up, thrown into, and then to discard the body, he basically has his henchmen put him in a taxi and throw him into the river. Assuming that he'd be left for dead. And then he like resurfaces and he tries rebuilding himself with a sister who plays like a maternal role, kind of like the mother you never had, but kind of nursing him back. So that's like the Born Again, like redeeming story arc. What we got, what it seemed like to me, seemed more like it was Bullseye's Born Again story than Daredevil's Born Again story, where he went from like the killer, the mercenary, like, you know, the cold, heartless killer. And then he like develops not a conscience, but he goes through that, you know, that change basically. So, you know, to call it Born Again, I gotta like stop doing that. Stop. Call it something else. Just don't say that it's Born Again and then like just completely alter it. They do this all the time. This isn't American Idol where you could take a classic and then just like make it your own. Don't sing Whitney Houston. Leave Whitney to Whitney. Just let us have it. You know, keep it intact. Stop tampering.
Maybe it's called Born Again because they died on Netflix and then got reborn on Disney Plus. Probably where it came from, really and truly.
The coincidence was there, but it's comics. It's called Comics Explained. You can find it on YouTube. It'll sum everything up, but it involves like the extent to which Kingpin went to try and destroy this man. Was it went from like subtle behind the scenes to blatant, like I'm pulling out all the stops and I don't care who knows kind of thing. So it was a great story. It's one of the best. It's one of Frank Miller's best.
And they probably stole some of the storylines because just from that aspect of alone. Because I mean, at the end, you know, he kind of doesn't really care at this point, where he's, you know, he wants to kind of get out of it. But like I said, we'll talk about it a little bit. Who was the MVP of the season?
I don't hand out MVPs that frivolously, Calvin. Actually, you know what? Vincent D'Onofrio.
Okay.
Kingpin. Kingpin was the... Actually, I have two. Kingpin and... what was this henchman's name again?
Oh, Cashman?
What's his name? Yeah. Yeah. Those two. Like, hand in hand... Fantastic dynamic duo. It's like, yeah, it's like was it Kai Proctor and if you watch Banshee, Kai Proctor and his henchman that was something else. Like he had him in office and this sadistic serial killer as his right hand man that just took care of stuff. I like that. But yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio,
you're afraid of,
yeah. Like, everyone knew, like, this guy has no political... Well, neither of them had any political credentials, but it's just like, okay, I'm a murderous kingpin, and I'm an ex-military, you know, hitman, basically in a suit. It's perfect. It was good. But yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio's sure acting Danny arc. Agrees with you. Who?
I said, I'm pretty sure Danny agrees with you.
You know? It was good. But Vincent D'Onofrio's his acting, he went through the most. It felt like he went through more ins and outs, and like he was basically more of a main character than Daredevil was, or Matt Murdock for that matter. Like there was more of him than there was about. It was more about the villain, kind of like the Dark Knight. You know. Where it was focused more on the Joker than it did on anything that Bruce Wayne or Batman was doing.
Right. Because we are
or the original Batman.
I mean, they already established the story, right? With Batman in the first one. So
yeah.
I would honestly I'm asking the question. I think it's kind of hard to really give an answer because I don't know if anybody really stood out in terms of being like a true MVP, if you want to say that. Cause I think season one to me, and I picked him, he was my favorite character last year, was Kingpin. I thought Kingpin was amazing. You know, it was amazingly done last season in terms of how he just rose to power and just you just saw the boldness just day by day, week by week, just get more and more until, you know, it ends in season one where he's crushing the police chief's skull right in there in the open, which is like insane. But I thought by far he was the MVP. I think this year it's a little more nuanced because there's a lot of people you can kind of choose from. Kingpin himself, you can pick from, I was going to say Karen Page, but I wouldn't say Karen Page. I would honestly, if I had to choose one, I'd probably say Bullseye. I'd probably say Dex, just because of the story arc of going from villain to like anti-hero, you know what I mean? And watching that whole, just that whole transformation, you know what I mean? And it also awakens one of the, I would say probably one of my favorite scenes of the season, or probably my favorite scene, I want to call it the waking up in the morning and going to the diner scene, where Willis is playing and he's just having breakfast, you know, knowing he's about to wipe out literally the entire diner. Like,
yeah,
that was pretty impressive how they laid that out.
The AVTN?
That's one of my favorite scenes. Sure. Was that
the anti-vigilante task force?
Yes.
AVTN.
AVTF.
Yeah, that was a good one. I think a lot, like, they did a pretty good job with the action scenes. They didn't need that many, but a lot of the action scenes were, I think the action scenes were well done. And if there's one thing that this Daredevil, you know, catalog has done, I mean, I'm not saying it's my favorite scene, but they do very good corridor chaos scenes. Like when Daredevil had to go down the stairwell to go like for Elektra, that was a crazy scene of like nonstop action. And then we had one again where like the Kingpin had to go through what, you know, he murdered almost, you know, a large portion of New York. We'll get to that. Yeah, they had some pretty good action scenes. It wasn't necessarily like an action, you know, an action series. It's based off a superhero. There were some fight scenes, but not that many. So I like that it was a nice touch, just showing what Bullseye was capable of.
Yeah, just I think it was worth its salt in the story writing. They went a little deeper with it with him, at least, you know, to kind of understand his mindset and where everything started from, and then his, you know, the vengeance to going after the Fist family, and which he succeeded because he ended up killing, essentially just wiping out Vanessa, right? I thought his story arc was well done, and then of course when he gets to the end and he's on the air, he's sitting with Mr. Charles at the airport, you know what I mean, like looking like he's gonna be his right hand man, like they did it well with him. I thought they did it well with him, and to me Bullseye wasn't like a big character, but he became one this season. And I just, to me, he was the MVP of it personally.
I think Bullseye has been underutilized as a whole for what he's capable of doing. Like, I know we get like little glimpses of it, but like he's a good character to have. And he was honestly, again, shout out to Frank Miller from being like, when he goes through, I take it, he went through the Marvel catalog list of characters, people that were being underutilized and whatever, and be like, I'll take him, and him as my, you know, and her. Let me grab her, let me create her, and let me make them like my, you know, like my SmackDown 6, like my nucleus of characters kind of thing. And I think adding Daredevil was great, because Daredevil, Punisher, and Bullseye in the comics are always like, those three are always in a loop. Always. Bullseye's always taken out, you know, but the fact that he was working for Kingpin, that's accurate too. So it was good.
Yeah, and I want to give a runner up, or at least throw some flowers out to Daredevil, because like in this season, you know, in terms of balancing, like I said, the morality of justice himself. You know, he helped to turn Bullseye into an anti-hero. There was one point in time where he basically shut off Karen from essentially hopping off the cliff herself, because she was about to do Bullseye, you know what I mean? She was about to off him too, you know what I mean, and go completely over the edge. So it was, like I said, it was, to me, it's, I mean, the whole complexity of him too was like, he's a strong runner-up, I would say, but I did like his character a lot this season. But it's just, to me, I thought there was a little more depth to at least they showed more depth to Bullseye that you can't really ignore. With that said, like I said, it's tough to, like I said, to give an MVP to somebody, because I think there was nobody was like a standout above the other. Like I said, whereas Kingpin last year was like, oh man, like he was like the star of season one. I don't know if there was necessarily a star of season two, but we still got everything that we got from Bullseye, to so to speak.
I do have a question. If you had to rank in priority the characters from like one, let's say your top three, who do you think the series revolved around the most this season?
This season? I mean,
like in order for where do you think they put their money and priorities and scenes and everything? Like,
it's a good question. I would say Kingpin, Daredevil. I'm not even sure if I'm really ranking it, but Kingpin, Daredevil. I would say Bullseye too.
Do you think that they needed as many cameos as they put in? Kind of like Spider-Man 3, was it Sam Raimi or whatever, where he just like started throwing any and everybody in. So he threw in Sandman, he threw in Venom, he threw in blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, did you find that there were too many? Like, did we need such strong woman with the leather jacket that had the kid, forgot her name.
Oh, Jessica Jones?
Jessica Jones. Do we need Jessica Jones? Do we need Punisher? Did we need, you know, like, do we need Muse? Did we need, like, should we have saved some of these for a little bit later? Because you threw these people in, like, oh, look, here's so-and-so. But it's like, why are they here? And where'd they go?
You don't necessarily need Punisher. You get to get Punisher, okay? Let's rip that down right now. You get the Punisher.
Punisher shows up when he wants to show up. Yeah. But did we need it in this storyline? Because like, if you're going to take down Fisk, Punisher's only there for like a couple scenes. That's it.
He was in season two. Why don't I remember him in season two?
Didn't he have a quick cameo? Or am I mixing up my seasons? Was he not even in it?
I'm not sure if he was even in it. I could be wrong, but I don't think he was.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I've seen a lot of these. I've seen a lot. So, but anyway, like, did we need Jessica Jones?
Well, for reinforcement in terms of, I mean, because you got to remember the whole storyline of Daredevil is like he's basically underground for the entire time, trying to go after Fisk but having all of New York basically like ready to catch her in terms of, you know, legal force of the AVTF, you know what I mean? And also the underworld and stuff still wanting a piece of him, you know, you kind of need a reinforcement. So, I mean, in that aspect, I didn't think it was a bad storyline for her coming in there.
But she'd even stick around long. She's like, all right, I've helped you with this. Now I got to go take care of my kid. So I'm like, if you...
But she came in to episode. She came in episode about 5 or 6. So she's there for the final 3 episodes.
For how long though, man? Like, you know what I mean? You need a team of people to take down the mayor and the docs and the system. You know, like, don't bring somebody that has to leave you to go babysit, like to go relieve the babysitter. Kind of have a big task here. You want to have somebody that'll be your ride or die. Sorry, I gotta go break up animal crackers. I gotta go, but good luck with that, Daredevil. I'll catch you in a little bit. No, it doesn't make sense to me. Just me.
We're taking on Laporte, but look here. The bus is coming at 2:45. So you gotta figure this out, man.
My transfer is good for 90 minutes, so I'm gonna like brook up people here, but I gotta be at the bus stop real quick to make it because I don't want to pay an extra fare. Gotta go. Yeah, it's not.
Matt, can you do this at night? Because that really works better for me.
Dude, here's my take. Use the Punisher instead. That would have been a good parlay. Like, forget Jessica Jones. Use the Punisher instead. You're going to be going up against a whole bunch. You know what I mean? You got the... Shouldn't the Punisher feel a certain type of way of the AVTF using his logo? Shouldn't he want revenge on... You know, shouldn't we have put some finality or added on to that? You know what I mean? Why do we have White Tiger or whatever like that? White Tiger's daughter like doing more of a role than Frank Castle. We're talking about the upheaval of New York and the entire system and this rampant, rife crime all over the place.
And
how about you? Sorry?
And he got out.
Yeah. But why not use a guy who'd be like, yo, we're doing this? Like that, you know, every crew has that psycho loco guy. Call in the psycho loco guy. Be like, yo, you want to kill some criminals? Got nothing going on after 9 o'clock? Meet me at the docks. That would make sense. But like, you're using, you know, the tiger girl and like free people, and she's like, no, that's nice and cute. But we're talking like taking down the system. Frank Castle was up in his apartment, I guess, with no furniture. That's where he was, where all this was going down. It doesn't, there's some holes there. Again, if you're taking Born Again, and Punisher was not in Born Again, but if you're taking the Born Again title, please at least try to like stay, you know, give me some grit. Don't try to like just sprinkle in some characters here and there for the sake of it. give me some grit. And if you're going to give me people, and you're going to take them away, you're going to kill them, don't just kill them just to get them off the screen. Someone should likely be trying to avenge them, or like justify why these people, it's, I won't say senseless deaths, but like the deaths didn't seem to carry that much weight. I have a lot of people trying to avenge them. My take.
I'm going to throw a throwback movie because when you're talking about, you have to have that one friend. You remember a Devil in a Blue Dress? Did you ever watch Devil in a Blue Dress with Denzel? Oh my God.
Years ago. Try, but go on.
But I mean, that was Don Cheadle's role in the movie, right? He was the guy that Denzel called, like, "Hey, man, I need help here." You know what I mean? And he had to send him away because the friend was a little too off kilter, and he had to basically send him off.
Yes. So you always have not always, but sometimes when you have that guy, like, "Yo, we riding. Yo, where are we going? I'm packing the strap."
Yeah.
You know, like, "Hey, I think I got a use for you tonight. Come on, with me."
You only call them for certain situations. You only call them for certain. You don't call them for every mission. You call them for certain missions.
Shout out to Vision Poet. Vision Poet had one of those guys in his crew. Do you see that episode where he has that guy, those gun button people all over the place? That's the Punisher. Who you need to call if you're going to go to the docks and try and take down. You're going to try like freeing everybody from being in cages, like Taskmaster. Was it Taskmaster? I forget his name. The guy with the swordsman there in a suit, and everybody else that he had lined up in the cages down there in the basement, right? When he had all those people in prison, he had to like free them. That had probably been a good time to call in the favor, you know?
Yeah. That's Andre 3000 and Be Cool, you know? That scene, you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm going to do? Don't give me no gun, man.
But, you know, like a scene like that, I think would have taken things over the top, where it's just like you call in your reinforcements. And then if he's like, "Yo, I'm not, like, I got to go," you can parlay that into, I don't always use parlay because I've been losing all my parlays, but you can transition that into, you know, Punisher one last kill.
No, I was going to say it's funny because you really threw me off with the aspect of Jessica Jones having to work out a schedule, you know, for the babysitting responsibilities, you know, which might affect the superhero responsibilities as well. I don't know. Storyline.
Yeah.
That's just me. Some of these characters back to either make a series or add more fullness.
We can agree to disagree. I know. Like, if you're tackling the whole system, going after the Kingpin and his organization, the fact that he's moving all sorts of arms through the docks and whatever. That kind of gritty, like, we'll murder people, we'll take people away, we'll swoop you up, it's kind of hitting on Vanilla Ice Baby kind of tactics. You bring the big guns. But I think a lot of bad things were done to a lot of characters a lot of characters that people cared about with not a lot of get back. And, you know, I find like they kind of left a couple, they killed my father. Okay, what was the get back for that? You know what I mean? Right. Oh, you killed Foggy. Okay, where's the get back for that? Where's the vengeance for the hero kind of thing? Like, where's the redeeming arc? Like, even with all, anyway, let's agree to disagree.
I mean, obviously on a business level, I mean, there's clearly they want to bring back the Defenders, or at least some of the Defenders anyway. So I think that's, you know, that is part of the storyline in that aspect, right? They're seeing a lane where they can introduce some of these characters back to either make a series or add more fullness to Daredevil. But I think it's the former. I think they're going to try to make a series of some of these ones. That's what it's looking like. And they're all going to be back for season 3 anyway. They're all back for season 3 because they're already recording it.
the Defenders were never really a huge, like a huge faction in comic book lore. Like they did have a series that got canceled, but their standalones were not the strongest, their standalone series. So maybe stronger together, you know, yeah. Maybe, but I hope that they give every character their just due. I know Iron Fist did not do well. Yeah. So like you could flame on for that one. Jessica Jones was okay. I was a huge fan. I was a huge fan of Luke Cage. Like I thought those two seasons were, especially the season one, those were on point. Whoever directing that was, wow, Cottonmouth and Bushman and whatever. That was good. Those were good seasons. But let's see what they have in store. I think again, my major gripe is if you have access to all these characters and these catalogs and these classic storylines, just replicate them. They tested well in print. They're legendary. You may trade paperbacks with them. Just put it to screen. Bring the fantasy to reality and let us just enjoy it. I don't care. We can watch it over. Yes, just do it. Stop putting raisins in the potato salad. It's not tasting good.
To a certain faction, because other factions, it's a delicacy. But we'll move on.
Which faction is that, Calvin?
I don't know, man.
Speak on to lose some followers. Go ahead. Come get canceled with me.
Probably not this one. It's probably not this one.
Fair.
All right, let's get to the season finale. What are your thoughts? I know you've been wanting to talk about this. Like, I feel like your locks are like twisting on its own just to try to get this out.
Opinions? Me? I'm not known for having many, but tell you what. I would say somewhat confusing. And it's unfortunate because it built up to a nice crescendo. The scene in the courtroom, that was Matt taking him, you know, getting back to it. I like that part. Then he outs himself, which is okay. I kind of get worse. But then we go into this military lockdown of the entire city and everybody's wearing red and mobilizing in front of, like, I didn't get the whole progression. And then all this leads to, like, the police are there. It's a televised trial. Then Kingpin's like, he's bunkered down and he's like, open the doors. Then he starts murdering all these citizens and he still gets his asylum. And I'm like, wait,
what does
that mean? And then at the end, they have this, I guess it's kind of like a Tony Montana kind of a last stand kind of defiant, you know, I'm looking down on you, but he's like, his first words, I haven't done anything wrong. I'm like, you just murdered a corridor full of people. The blood is on your, like, there's a whole bunch of blood on your white suit. What do you mean you didn't do anything wrong? You just murdered men and women. Some of them were children in a murderous rage. Like, you forget the back that you snapped and the, you know what I mean? Like the, what? You mean he didn't do anything wrong? And then everyone's just listening to him speak? What?
Why not just rush him?
They did rush him at one point, but the thing about Kingpin is apparently that's not fat, that's muscle.
Right.
So he's like, apparently in comic book lore, he's like less than 5% body fat. Like, it's just all muscle. So that's why he could just, you know.
Yeah.
He could Gallagher the police commissioner's head and he could like just crush people and, you know, the car door and stuff like that. There's a lot of strength behind it. It's not fat. So all those like, you know, Twitter finger, like we're going to make a stand. Not really. It's kind of like that corridor scene is reminiscent of like, you know, like those trolls on the internet that like talk a lot of trash. But then when you meet them face to face, they don't have that much fight and bark behind them. And it's just like, no, 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 this is real life. Yeah. They went from like, yeah, let's get him to like, help, help, he's coming. Like, yeah, what'd you think was going to happen? He's just going to go like, no, he's going down. Like, It was a good scene, though. It was a good scene of violence. The aftermath of it didn't seem to make any sense. Where'd all the police go that were out front? I mean, we ended up seeing them in prison, you know, on the chain gang kind of thing. But where were they? They had weapons. Didn't this man just, like, wasn't he just found guilty of, well, like, they didn't find him guilty, sorry. But didn't they, like, wasn't it revealed, like, this guy is not a good guy, we should probably take him in again? You know? I think they could have brought it together a little bit better. And, I mean, but it also seems like this was an original story as well. Again, because it deviated from source material. But I highly encourage, if people can find the Comic Books Explained one or the trade paperback, the it's better. It's better. This is good, but the original story with Frank Miller's pen and his mind is and artwork is better. All things to say that, like, there are a couple things that didn't really tie together for a series finale, like for the closure of the storyline that we were looking for. Even the ending didn't make sense. Like, he's allowed to go get coffee or, like, have dinner with her, but then they know where he is and what's he arrested for, and why wouldn't they just throw those charges out? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Did the kingpin make it out? Like, what are we doing?
You'll appreciate this. You'll appreciate this reference. It was almost Power-ish the way they ended this season. It was almost Power-ish. But it's funny because the I'm keeping this in, by the way.
I didn't mean for that to happen. Oh man.
I'm keeping that in. But
jeez Louise. The power, listen, power was, what a mess, damn it, no, all right, so anyway.
Yes, no, but that's funny. No, but honestly, it's hilarious to me because the reference you made about everybody running to the, running towards Kingpin, like not realizing who he is, it's kind of reminiscent of the two guys that ran on the Pistons court. Realize, yes! Oh my God, there's Ron Artest. Wait, he's bigger than I thought.
Hey, Jermaine O'Neal. I think he's really 6 foot. Right? Like, yeah. Or that guy that's squared up. Like, yeah, what are you going to. And then Steven Jackson just came in and be like, this is over immediately. Like, you know what I mean? Like, sit down. Running up on the mayor. Run up on Mayor Quimby, maybe. You don't run up on Wilson Fisk. Especially in a tight, closed corridor where you have no escape. And by the way, why wasn't there an escape route for those people to get out of? You know what I mean? Like, they should have been scattered, like, real quick. But, and no one had a weapon? Even the task force that would have turned against, because I forget his name, but we're going to get it real quick. The brother with the scar on his face, Emil Liston. Yeah. He should have been like, yeah, he's in here, and like stun him or get him out of here. But they just like let random citizens try and take him down. No. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm along the same wheelhouse. I feel like they've it could have been better for sure. Leading up to it though, like it was. I think it's not the whole episode, but it's the final 20 minutes or so that kind of, or that 25 minutes that kind of waters down the first 35. You know what I mean? Like, cause leading up to it was good. Even like the episode before where Heather Glenn and Karen Page, you have that scene in the interrogation room. Like,
yes.
it was building up to something and watching, and she's an underrated character in this too, because obviously something's going on with her mentally and the wires are starting to fray. You know what I mean? Especially with the look on her face when she realizes that all this time she was hooking up with Daredevil and not Matt Murdock, or, you know, one and the same. And you can see like she's really taking this in now. Like there was points where it leads to it. And then you can see in the courtroom scene, I'm not sure why, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not sure why the lawyer is basically saying, why don't the two of us get out of here? I'm like, wait, is he hitting on her in the middle of this scene? What just happened here?
I thought so too. The greasy lawyer.
Like, after we watch it, like, I'm like, did that just happen? I'm like, did he just ask her out? Like, yeah. You know, I know everybody's getting murked around here and they're all coming for us, but you know, Netflix and chill. You wanna do that? Like, it just happened. Like, I thought that was odd.
And then she got some of the writing was off.
Got the throat chop. You know what I mean? So
yeah, is he dead? Or was it just a chop and he's alive? Like,
it looked like he was still alive, but something's happening. That's what I think I was asking you before. I'm like, is she supposed to be like the new Elektra? But she's supposed to be somebody.
She might take the mantle of Muse, but Muse was a character that did not die within like a two episode arc kind of thing. Like, I think Muse lasts one or two episodes.
Well, it's clear that she's going to be coming after Daredevil in season 3. I mean,
That's clearly
that's happening. I feel like Matt Murdock, Tony Stark sing 8-miling himself in the courtroom. I could have done without that. I didn't like that as it was happening. You know what I mean? Because I was kind of similar to you. I was kind of like, why is this happening? You know, why is he trying to 8-mile himself and essentially call Kingpin Clarence? What's going on here? You know what I mean? Like, it didn't make any sense to me from that point, from that aspect. Like, where did that even come from? I didn't get that part as to why that would happen. You know what I mean?
I think that there was already enough evidence to try to like implicate Fisk, but I think he was trying to put like the icing on the cake, the Jackie Childs. Now it's time to put on the try on the glove kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. But now it's like, okay, well, if you're Daredevil, everyone knows you're Daredevil. Nobody that you know or is associated with you, like in your, you know, nobody's safe. How are you safe moving forward? Like, for all the, you know what I mean? Like, what's the point?
Your life isn't the same. Your law firm isn't the same.
And he still got asylum, and Kingpin still gets asylum. He's not it didn't make sense. Why'd you do it?
Yeah, nothing made sense. Because even Kirsten, is it Kirsten and Kirsten too? Like, she's basically temporarily running this law firm as he's on the ground. So I'm like, you kind of put her at risk too.
Everybody. Everyone. Yeah. But like, I didn't get a lot of... I don't know if the people that came up with this script and everything like that really knew the comics and the characters and everything, right? It's not that, like, the whole point of him wearing the mask and everything was to be, like, you know, the savior of Hell's Kitchen and, like, an anonymous superhero. But now moving forward, no matter what you do, everyone's basically going to know that, that Daredevil is Matt Murdock. So if you're like, oh, your lawyer's going to be Matt Murdock, and he's so, oh, you're Daredevil. You know, like, how does this changes everything, unless you try to like put it in an alternate universe and pretend like it didn't happen, you know, like they should with the Power season finale or Game of Thrones season 8. You know, there's some things that you could just try to like put off, but you didn't have to. You had evidence. You had this man, you know, you had the testimony, you were winning.
Can you imagine, like, in real life, he's like doing a deposition, you know what I mean? Like, or he's meeting with his client and they're trying to get the story. And he's like, okay, so your HR's case is blah, 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 blah. And he's like, yeah, cool, cool, cool. So when you murdered Bullseye, right? What was that like?
So when you fought the Hand to go save Elektra, well, can you tell me, like, dude, no, section 16.1 of this ledger here, like, really?
I know there's a good chance I might lose my kid in this joint custody battle, but when you fought the Kingpin, right? Like, little Brad's gonna be fine. Brad Jr.'s gonna be fine. What happened with the Kingpin? Like, to me, I thought it was odd. And I mean, the difference with him and Tony Stark, if you watch like the Avengers and all that stuff, Tony Stark can still isolate himself. Everyone knows who he is, but he's got money. so he can isolate himself in certain ways that you don't have the financial wherewithal to do. It doesn't make any sense. And then on top of that, too, you got like the everybody, you know, coming to the courthouse and all the everybody like coming to together, like the city and everybody rebelling. First of all, I mean, that's all cool on his face. Where did everybody get the Daredevil mask from? Like, did like was that a thing? Was that on sale on Canal Street? Was that on eBay? Like, where did everybody get this from?
Who's when did everybody
sold all those costumes and not costumes, but the mask? Where did that come from? And everybody's just uniting to come to one to the courthouse. Then they get to the courthouse. And they're all leading as one, as like as Daredevil puts his fist in the air like he's Malcolm X or a Huey P. Newton. What just happened here? The whole thing was confusing.
I'll tell you what happened. One of my favorite movies is V for Vendetta. And I think it might be a tribute to Guy Fawkes. I think it was Guy Fawkes, how you pronounce it properly. You know, the white mask the people wear kind of thing. The difference is in V for Vendetta, he actually says like the 5th of November, you know, remember the 5th of November, et cetera, et cetera. But people mobilized on that date, basically, and he had an announcement like at this date and time, we're going to, you know what I mean? So it meant something. And everyone that was down with the cause showed up. Who organized this group of New Yorkers? Just, hey, it's not like a Knicks watch party kind of thing where everyone knows where to go and how to dress or anything like that. Nope. It's just, hey, want to go down to the courthouse and oust the mayor? Maybe risk your life? Yeah, let me get dressed. No, Calvin, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't. It hasn't. I know what they were trying to do. That there's elements of Scarface. There are elements of like V for Vendetta. They did not make it mesh well together. And I did this on purpose, right? Yes. But yeah, it didn't.
I get the reference. Yes. The very good. Very good. You're a Lego builder. I'm proud of you. But it's funny because you're making the point. It's like they basically all got together at Jurassic Park and was like, okay, let's after this game, let's go and, you know, let's go to the courthouse. Like, was there, I mean, Twitter's a thing, right? Twitter and social media is a thing. Obviously it lends itself in this show, right? And that's the world we live in now. Wasn't there like, you know, there's also conspiracy theories, accounts and all those kind of things. Not one person out there said, hey, you know what? I've been hearing stories about the Kingpin. Kind of a violent guy. Maybe we should like have some like art, like bow and arrows. Like maybe we send like all the big guys in first. Don't send the women and children. And you know what I mean? Like let's try to figure this out a little bit. Like let's send the WWE wrestlers. You know what I mean? Or the guys that's lifting like 500 pounds in the gym. Maybe send those guys first as the frontline guys instead of like, you know what I mean? The pocket protectors and the data analysts, you know what I mean? The accountants, you know what I mean? The guys who like to do karate classes on the weekends. Can we like maybe figure out a better plan than just to go up? Like somebody on Twitter had to leak that message to be like, hey, by the way, you know, I've been hearing some things. He's kind of violent. Maybe we should try to devise a plan. Maybe we'll not devise it now, but when we get to the courthouse, let's figure this out together.
Have you done your high-intensity training? Come meet us at the courthouse. We're going to go take down the mayor. You know what would have made more sense? Just thinking. Wouldn't somebody be like, hey, where's Chief Gallo? Hey, where's so-and-so? You. Oh, hey, where's so-and-so? Nobody? It's okay. What would have made more sense? Just my opinion. You get BB Urich to mobilize on social media while, you know, the trial's taking place. You forget about the masks and the symbolism or what, you know, where are you getting that from? You just get angry citizens down to the courthouse and you show like, you know, she's young. You show the power of social media because they just had a couple cutaways, right? They had a cutaway of a Kingpin and they had a cutaway of like her. Oh, it's all of her. Great. How about you put something out there like, hey, trial's going down. Let's take care of this today. Right? Let's get behind. Then you get everybody down there. then that'll make sense as to why everybody's mobilized so much. You see, you know, that used to have people cutting away to like her BB minute or whatever it was, have people like sharing and then see like it grows. And then like the power of the people. And then, you know, we're going to get behind Daredevil. We're going to go take care of business. They didn't do that. Clearly. That's why we're mocking them right now. But, you know.
I mean, and then there's also too, like, while, I mean, great points you're making, but then also too, maybe you can, at that point, you have the vendor that everybody goes by and is like, okay, let's buy this mask. That would make more sense as opposed to just everybody just like, okay, let me get my mask out of my cupboard. You know what I mean? And just put that on. And the person who wears that made the mask, how much money did they walk away with? I mean, they walked away with some change. They probably sat there. They probably sat back and watched it on TV like, all right, I'm going to Jamaica.
I could go see my artwork at play in that corridor, or I could get the hell out of New York City. Taxi! You know, like, but you know what? Something else. The unavenged, let's not forget, rest in peace, Daniel. What did Daniel die for?
We're gonna get to him in a second.
Sorry. All right. I'm there with you. I got rants. Okay.
It's all right. No, but then the last thing I'll say before we move on. I mean, again, the Chief Gallo. Like again, nobody mentioned it on Twitter. Hey, by the way, I'm somebody that works for the police force. He told me that you know, one of his boys was there, one of his coworkers is there, and actually saw what happened. Or maybe like, you know, my cousin is a dry cleaner for the Kingpin, and the same day that Gallo went missing, his suit was red. Maybe you should watch out for this guy. Maybe bring a Billy Club. Let's talk about that. We should bring a Crowbar.
A lot of these white suits, these like extra large white suits that this guy's cleaning, all have blood on them. So I think some sort of like brain spatter or something like that. We just cleaned them. I think there's actually only one time where the Kingpin was wearing black, which was pretty interesting. I noticed that in the last, like one of the last two episodes. But for the most part, he's wearing an all white suit, but all these people are going missing. Like for all the people that were locked up or whatever, you know, were locked up in the cages beneath the city. Shouldn't we have had more to that? Like, yo, citizens are missing. Like they kind of touched on it a little bit, but not enough. But it's, you know, like they made New Yorkers dumb NPCs.
Right.
Unfortunately, you know, and they could have, and New York is, you know, for a city with that much personality and that much vibrancy and so much of a pulse to it, you know, it's not, it didn't necessarily make the most amount of sense, but they tried.
Well, maybe this is the gentrified version of New York. So maybe that's what came out in this episode. Could be that. The Whole Foods crowd came out, not like the Crooklyn crowd. You know what I mean?
New Brooklyn, Starbucks, Brooklyn.
New Brooklyn, New Harlem, New Harlem.
Yeah,
that's right. New Harlem,
Chipotle, Brooklyn. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
They call it extra Manhattan. That's what they call it. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for checking out the latest edition of the App Podcast. Special shout out to Kevin W. for hopping on this episode and talking about Daredevil, season two of Daredevil anyway. So like I said before, this is part one of the season two review. Part two I'm going to put out next week just because there's a slew of shows that we have coming this week. Couple of NBA-centric episodes and the premiere of The Stoop preseason, I'm calling it. So just because of that, I'm going to wait until next week to put that one out. All right. So stay tuned for that. Thank you as always for tuning in. Make sure you hit those like and subscribe buttons. Make sure you go to the 5 stars and click all of them because, I mean, I deserve it. Damn it. but please click on all 5 of them right now. If you're watching this on YouTube or if you decide to watch it on YouTube, I should say, click on those like and subscribe as always wherever you listen and watch the podcast. And as always, make sure you go to SouthShoreAv.com for the emphasis. Once again, that is SouthShoreAv.com. I appreciate y'all. All right. For Kevin W., this is Kyle C. and you just tuned into the latest episode right here on Sal Sharaf Radio. Until the next one, we out of here. Peace.